as Martin said, we're back in Isaiah. We looked at the first section of Isaiah, various bits of that, a few weeks ago. And we saw Isaiah describing the dreadful situation of his people. They'd gone away from God, were in a lot of trouble because of that. And yet he cried out a message of hope, if only they would turn. And now we come to the later part of the book, and we're going to be spending a few sermons in this. And Isaiah's looking forward to a time when, because of their waywardness, a foreign army has come and overrun, or is coming to overrun, the country. But let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that we can be together this morning, reading it together, and hearing you speak to us as we read it and learn from it. And so we pray that you would work in our hearts, give us humble, receptive minds, help us to sit under your word and learn from your authority through it. And send us out, we pray, equipped by you, to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. When times are hard and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he promises to strengthen us. When times are hard and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he promises to strengthen us. And there are four things we can do with that statement. Number one, we can use it on ourselves today. We may be feeling grim because of the things that happened last night in London or other things happening in our lives. And when times are hard like this and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he's promised to strengthen us. So we can use it on ourselves, or we can store it up to use it later. It's the kind of thing that we need to know from God. And we can store it up in our hearts so that when we feel times are hard later on, maybe this week or in another year, maybe, I don't know, we can remember this and use it then. That's the second thing. So use it with yourself, store it up to use it later. Three, we can use it to pray for or encourage a friend. Maybe a friend of ours, someone we know and love, is feeding this. Now, what we hear today from God's word, we can use to pray for them. And if we're gentle and careful, we can use it to encourage them. So use it for yourself, store it up, use it later, pray for, encourage a friend. And we could, number four, put our hope in Jesus for the first time. I think probably most of us here are trusting in Jesus. If there was someone amongst us hearing this who didn't know Jesus, maybe this would prompt them to trust in him for themselves. So when times are hard and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he's promised to strengthen us. How does that come out of this passage here? Let's think about feelings and how we feel. Think of some words about when we feel great. We might think of words like happy or joyful, satisfied, full, healthy. These are words that we might think of that describe feeling great, aren't they? And maybe you feel like that today. On the other hand, there are words that we can use to describe feeling not so good. So words like sad, ill, worried, tired, hungry. Perhaps you can think of some other ways that we feel that are not so great. And these feelings come and go. Sometimes we spend a long time feeling something and then something else. But these feelings are part of our lives. To what extent do they affect the things that we do? Think about your favourite restaurant. I don't know what that would be. Maybe it'd be the Harvester next door. Or maybe it's Gordon Ramsay up in London, one of London's only two three-star Michelin restaurants. Or maybe somewhere in between the two. Now, depending on how you're feeling, you may feel differently about your favourite restaurant. So think of some of those words we had at the beginning. If you're feeling happy, then your favourite restaurant would be a great place, somewhere you want to be. And that steak that you like having, or that chicken thingy you like, you'd have it, you'd feel great. And if you're maybe feeling healthy, you'd go to your favourite restaurant and you'd choose that wonderful salad they do, and you'd really enjoy it. So some of those feelings that we have really enhance our favourite restaurant, wherever that is. And what about some of the other words, though, that when we're not feeling so good? So if you're feeling ill, well, you probably wouldn't go, would you? What's the point in going and spending all that money on a 3-star Michelin meal if you're not feeling very well? You might just throw it up afterwards. It's pointless. Or if you're feeling tired, it's just hard to get the energy to go out. Well, why would you go and spend it in a place that's going to be noisy, it's going to be bustly, everyone will be laughing. You won't be up for any of that. So your favourite restaurant suddenly is not so good, is it? Now the question is, suppose you are feeling sad or ill or tired or whatever it is, has your favourite restaurant changed? Has Gordon Ramsay lost his 3rd Michelin star? Or is the Harvester no longer doing that lovely barbecue sauce? Has it changed? No, it hasn't, has it? It's still there. Still doing the same meals they did yesterday and the day before and will do the next day. That when you're feeling great, you love. But today, when you're feeling rubbish, you just don't want to use it or go there. Still a great place, but you feel quite different about it. And this is an important thing to notice about ourselves, isn't it? Because the same happens with God. The same happens with how we feel about God. How we feel about Jesus and God can depend on our feelings. If we're feeling happy or joyful or ill or tired, impacts how we feel, not just about Gordon Ramsay or the Harvester, but about God as well. But has God changed? No, it's us who's feeling different. And the people in this passage that Isaiah addresses, he looks forward to a time when they're going to be complaining, when they're going to be feeling rubbish. A foreign country, a big, powerful, war-loving nation will have overtaken them. And maybe on the doorstep of their city, holding it to siege. And they're going to be saying, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Because of the dreadful situation they're in. And God uses Isaiah to tell these people 5 things about himself to help them keep on trusting. God hasn't changed, even though their situation has. God hasn't changed. And he tells them about 5 constant things about himself for them to remember so they can lift their hearts to him and trust him. 5 great things for us to remember in our lives. So what are these 5 great facts about God in this passage? Let's have a look through and pick them out. So we've got the complaint in verse 27. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Here come the 5 facts over the next 2 verses. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God." He's everlasting. "The creator of the ends of the earth." Fact number 2, he's the creator. "He will not grow tired or weary." Fact number 3, he's untiring. "And his understanding no one can fathom." Number 4, I can't think of the right word for this, super wise. I guess we say omniscient, don't we? But his understanding is better than anyone's. That's the 4th fact. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Number 5, he's the strengthening God. 5 facts about God. Everlasting. So before and after you and me. Before and after London. Before and after any nation or empire. Any scientific discovery. God's before it and after. He's everlasting. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. So he's beyond us and greater than us. Because we're created, as is everything. But he's the creator. He's in another dimension completely. He's untiring. Still verse 28, he'll not grow tired or weary. So we need our 7.5 hours, or whatever it is the surveys have told us recently. He doesn't. God never sleeps. He's super wise. His understanding, no one can fathom. Now, your understanding of mine stops at some point. And we don't know the answers. And even the scientists come to a point where they don't know the answers. The philosophers, they're still asking questions. But God's understanding, oh, no one can fathom that. It's beyond us all. He knows the answers. He's super wise. And he strengthens, we leap into verse 29 here, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. All of the above, his everlasting nature, his creator power, his untiring nature and his super wisdom, all of that above he uses to give strength to people. Who? To the weary and to the weak. He's a strengthening God. He helps his people. These are five amazing facts about God. And they don't change. When we cry out to him, my way is hidden from you, my cause is disregarded by you, it's not. It's not true. We're feeling that because of our circumstances, but God has not changed. And so when we're not feeling great, when we're feeling not great, said either way, when we're feeling not great, there is a really good reason behind that usually. So it might be that we really are ill, that there's something wrong in our bodies, and it might be something that's wrong in our body that affects our minds. So that's a real thing. That's not something to say it's not there. No, it is there. When we don't feel great, there's a real reason behind that. Something has happened. Something is wrong with us, or something's happened with a friend or in a country or something like that to make that feeling happen. So it's a real feeling. But what about God? God is still there. Has he stopped being everlasting? No, he hasn't. We feel rubbish. We don't maybe want to talk to him in prayer or read the Bible because of the way we're feeling, but he hasn't stopped being before us and after us. Has he stopped being the creator? No, he still creates, even when we're feeling down. Is he untiring still? He is still untiring. We might be worn out, but God is still there. Has he stopped being wise? No, he still knows where he's going, what his plan is, and what he's doing. But will he stop strengthening? No, he won't. Give strength to the weary, and power to the weak. And what if I am tired? Then isn't it great that God is never tired and can help me? What if I don't understand what's going on? Isn't it wonderful that his understanding is beyond us? What if around me there are brainy people or popular people deriding faith in Jesus? Well, he's the everlasting creator. He's greater than any of them. And what if something very sad has happened or is happening to me and those I love? He still strengthens. And so we come to the great promise at the end of this passage. And it's a wonderful promise to his people back then, concerned about what would happen in the future with this great army coming. And still a great promise to God's people today, because it's to those who hope in the Lord. Have a look at verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. It's good news, isn't it? It's not just us. Young people do it too. But, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now this section of Isaiah brings us to someone who Isaiah introduces us to. We haven't met before in Isaiah. He brings us to the servant of the Lord, who we discover is a servant who suffers and who we later see is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through the suffering servant, it's through Jesus, and because of what he does and what is described in Isaiah's chapters here and beyond, it's because of him and what he does that we can know this promise. And so this promise is something that is ours for the future in Jesus, that we will one day, because of him, soar on wings like eagles. One day our rubbish legs that can barely stumble up the hill will run and not grow weary because of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, instead of having to go for a few hundred yards and then gasp, we will walk and not be faint because of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the future he has in store for us, the great hope of the new creation, his kingdom, God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing, the place where everything is put right, where all the S's have gone, no sin, no shame, no sickness, no sadness. A great future hope. But the wonderful thing about this is it's a future hope that leaks into the present. that we get a taste of now. That those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength today. What does that look like? It looks like us and anyone who trusts in Jesus keeping going, with him supporting us, him as our foundation and our rock, him as the one who brings us comfort, a glimpse of light in a time of darkness, knowing God with us by the Holy Spirit because of him. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This is a promise, God's promise to us today. So when times are hard and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he's promised to strengthen us. And there are four things we can do with that. We can use it with ourselves today. So if you are feeling some of those words I mentioned earlier or other words you can think of, God hasn't changed. God still has those five wonderful things and more about him. Everlasting. Creator. Forgotten them. Untiring. I just have to look at the passage, didn't I? Everlasting creator. Untiring. Super wise. And strengthening. This is God, and we can trust him for ourselves today in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can use that with ourselves today. We can store it up to use it later. I don't know what will happen to you tomorrow, and neither do you, or next week, or month, or year. But we can still trust in our everlasting God. We can use it to pray for or encourage a friend. Start with praying for them. You might be able to get on the phone or visit them, but you can pray for them today. Pray this for them, that they'd know God to be like this in their lives. And then when you get a chance to see them, show them these wonderful verses. Gently talk with them. Or put your hope in Jesus for the first time, if you haven't yet trusted in him. Let's pray. When times are hard and we don't feel like trusting Jesus, he's still great and he's promised to strengthen us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are unchanging. You are wonderful. And we bow in awe before you. You're everlasting, the Creator, untiring, super wise, strengthening God. We praise and thank you for this great promise for those who hope in you, that you will renew our strength. And we look forward to that day when we will soar on wings like eagles, when we will know the new creation in Jesus and through him, because of him. And so we pray for your help. Help today to trust in you. Help for those who are feeling the bad feelings, for whatever reason, however real that is. Help for us tomorrow, Lord, whatever may come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.